That's Feeling Yourself Disintegrate by The Flaming Lips from their album The Soft Bulletin. That's our theme song for the conversation today. And that song goes out to all of our friends and family that have lost someone in the recent past. Grief is a challenging emotion, but it's an important one for us to retain our humanity and sense of self, and to remember how important every day is, every minute. And so, if you've lost someone in the recent past, this song is for them. Welcome to the conversation. It's Friday, it's 9:30 a.m., and the number is 503-325-0010. Don't be alarmed, today's conversation is not about death. Today's conversation is about travel and your favorite place, your favorite places, locally, nationally, internationally, and why. Tell me about some of your experiences. Tell me about some of your adventures or your misadventures. Let's hear from you. 503-325-0010. Gabe, our fantastic phone person and volunteer, is ready to take your call and transfer it into the air room here at KMUN KTCB. What are some of the benefits of travel that you've experienced? I can start things off. Travel helps ensure your peace of mind. It helps you have original and creative thoughts. Travel broadens your horizons. It enhances your tolerance. It boosts your confidence. It gives you a real-life education, and it can create memories that last a lifetime. What are some of your memories that you've built from your experiences traveling? Let's have a conversation about it. 503-325-0010. There's a quote from Mark Twain that says, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. And so, was there an opportunity to travel that you missed and you regret? Can we learn from that experience? Give us a call on the conversation. I've done some traveling in my life. I feel very fortunate for that. One of the standout experiences traveling that I had was when I was in college and studying philosophy with an emphasis on Eastern religion and philosophy. And one of the professors at my college led a trip to China every summer and would take a cohort of students for a month to travel to Beijing and into the ancient capital of China called Xi'an, where those terracotta warriors are. And then we went up into the mountains into what I think most would consider Tibet, though the Chinese considered it China. And let me tell you, I learned something about myself. I learned something about the world. And I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. And I have no regret that I didn't say no to that opportunity. Another important traveling experience that I had was when my brother was married. His wife is half Spanish, and the family traveled to Spain, southern Spain, north of Malaga, in a town called Fuente de Piedra, where her grandmother was married, in a little church. It was a beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful ceremony. And we got to spend a little time in Madrid, and then the group I was traveling with spent a week in Italy, mostly in Rome. And that was an interesting experience, of course. I speak a little Spanish, so I definitely felt more comfortable in Madrid. But there was one time where I kind of goofed, and someone at the table wanted some olive oil, and I thought I knew how to say that. But it turns out I wasn't pronouncing it correctly, and so the waiter just stared at me, confused, for probably 3 good minutes before he finally pretended to all of a sudden realize what I was talking about. And then here's another funny story. I was so proud of my ability to speak Spanish that I did the toast. I was the best man for my brother. And when I did the toast, I talked about family and adding new family. And I wanted to use the word blood, which is sangre in Espanol. And I said sangria, which is not blood. That's a wine with fruit in it. And so I was mortified when I realized my mistake. But I don't think that anyone missed my intended meaning from that. Okay, so we're still waiting for our first call. I know you're out there, and I know you're thinking about a travel experience that you had that you would like to share with the community. What did you learn? What did you experience? What did you like? What did you not like? Was there something that made you uncomfortable and it helped you grow? Or did you go somewhere to find relaxation and to relieve stress, and that was the reason that you traveled? And where did you find that relaxation? Where did you find that relief from the day-to-day? One thing that I remember from my childhood was traveling to the desert in the summertime, where there were extremely intense electrical lightning storms that lit up the entire horizon like it was daylight, and we'd see flash floods. And but on the clear nights was what was really special, and that was seeing the stars and seeing as many stars as possible from the Earth without a telescope. Light pollution is a factor if you live in a city, and it sort of disconnects us with that expanse in the firmament, so-called outer space. Have you traveled to outer space? Give us a call, 503-325-0010. I want to know what it was like. Come on, don't make me do this alone. I'm going to run out of ideas and traveling stories for you. Traveling with family can be a really wonderful thing as well. And it looks like we do have our first caller. Hi, thanks for calling The Conversation. You're on the air. What's your comment or question about traveling?
Well, I have a story to share, and it's indicative of why we should follow our hearts. And one of my loves is dance, and I've been doing it since I was a kid. And when I was in India, I went to Bodh Gaya, and His Holiness the Dalai Lama was there. And so people came from all over the area to be with him, to greet, to be together. And I was fortunate to go with folks from Bhutan and other places, and I was the only the only foreigner there, basically, and I danced with them, and people came over to me. There was no language. It wasn't like Spanish. I couldn't even do that, but people came to me and put around my neck a kata, an honor, and they were smiling and grinning and happy, and I was smiling and grinning and happy because I was able to be part of this experience with people halfway around the world whom I'll never see again, but that will remain with me forever. That was 35 years ago, 1984.
You know, speaking of being able to speak in foreign languages when you travel, a smile is unmistakably the universal language.
Absolutely.
And there's no...
Absolutely. And so is music and dance. And so that kind of... And food, that kind of sharing is so deep and so rich and so appreciated by all of us. So
One of the things that I took from my trip to China was how slowly they eat, and how a meal is such an important time for conversation and for socialization, and you know, whether you drink alcohol or not, but there were many toasts throughout the meal, and that's something I've carried with me. My partner and I have a special meal together, there's always lots of toasts.
That sounds good, no matter what you're drinking. Speaking of China, I had another dance experience in China. Make it quick, I went to Western China. I promised myself I wouldn't go anywhere alone, but I had such a good feeling with the group of Buddhists with whom I traveled from Great Vow Zen Monastery in Klatskanai that I got myself a ticket and went to Western China. because I wanted to be in an area where there was more folklorica, so Lujong. And again, there was dancing and people in traditional clothes, and I was the only one who... It wasn't just that I joined them, it was that it's easy stuff. It's what we call village dancing. Anybody can do it, but most people don't. And so, again, being part of that, just fitting right in, and the smiles, the grins, the hand squeezes from people who were pleased to have me there. And I was so deeply touched, and memories. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share that.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Here's another quote for you. St. Augustine, "The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only one page." And this article goes on to say that if you read what's in the news or watch the news on TV and don't question it, you're missing a ton of information. You might think that it makes you smarter and more aware of the world, but that's the exact opposite. It narrows your mind to a unique and biased perspective. And so travel can really expand your perspective, and it can release you of biases that you may not even know that you hold. When I was in China, I fancied myself a guitarist as a young person and was eager to go to an instrument shop in Beijing. And so one of our student liaisons at University of Beijing came in and or took me to a music store, and I bought two musical instruments. And I brought them home with me on the plane. One was a jang, which is like a lap harp, like a Japanese koto, if you can picture that. And I can't believe I took that thing home with me on the airplane. But it was really important to me to connect culturally through music with other people. And so here's my next question for our next caller. If you don't want to talk about a travel experience that you have had, how about a travel experience that you would like to have? That's something that Jessamyn and I talk about a lot, is where would you like to go? And so one of the places at the top of my list is South America, and specifically Peru, not only for the amazing ruins that you can see there, but I think I like those sort of high elevation places. But I also really have a deep love and appreciation for their textile work. Some of my favorite sweaters are made from wool that comes from that area. And you just can't really find anything like that at REI. No offense, REI. But I'd like to go take a sweater vacation to Peru, if that makes sense. We've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air with The Conversation.
This is really relating. It's no major philosophical learning, but it relates back to your earlier caller.
Uh-huh.
Just two little tidbits. One of them relating to smiling, because when we travel, we smile a lot. And we were in Lithuania, and we noticed, in fact, relatives there said, "Why do you smile so much?" And we noticed that, I think what our understanding was after talking with them, that's a country that has been occupied for 40 years by both the Germans and the Russians. And people are very careful about how they comport themselves out in the public. They don't make a lot of eye contact, and they don't smile. Once you know them, they're much the same as we, but years of oppression can really affect a cultural tendency. And we in America, with our relative freedom, can be aware of that. Okay, then second thing, relating to dancing and music. A couple of years ago, a daughter and I went to a Scottish ceilidh at a relative's wedding, and they were amazed after all the food and drink, and there was lots of that. There was live music and dancing, and they were the same kind of dances that in my era, and I guess even in my daughter's, who's in her 50s, the kind of dancing that we did in elementary school is the kind of dance that you do at a ceilidh. And we were quite able to just jump right in and they were amazed that we knew the same dances as they. And so some of the things that have been carried over to this country, you know, notably probably in the Appalachia area and so on, the music that we hear on our radio, the Celtic music, is something that we're able to share when we go over the countries. So it was kind of fun because they were particularly taken with a, you know, what they saw as an elderly lady doing the same dances that they were.
Well, that reminds me of, we did a 1 week layover in Japan on the way to China, and I met a young man who played the shamisen, which is kind of a banjo-like instrument, and I was struck by how much that instrument, as when he played it and the style that he played it in, reminded me of bluegrass music.
Yeah.
And I don't think he had any connection to bluegrass, and I think he was building off of what was culturally theirs. It just bore so much resemblance that I was struck by that.
Music is worldwide.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. If you're just joining us, this is The Conversation. It's a live call-in show, and you're welcome to join the conversation by calling 503-325-0010. All the lines are open. That means you're next. Give us a call, 503-325-0010. We're talking about travel and the benefits. We're talking about experiences, favorite places, places you'd like to go, and, you know, what are some things that you've learned or what are some perspectives you've gained. I think that that was really interesting what our last caller said about Lithuania and the experiences that those people had been through over the last several decades and what an impact that can have on an entire culture and how they comport themselves publicly. And thank you for your call. We've got another call. Hi, what's your travel story for us?
Well, I grew up traveling. My dad was career military. And so we were moving a lot. And I think some of my biggest memories are when we lived overseas. We lived on Guam, and so we got to travel off the island every 6 months because it was considered an isolated tour of duty. And, you know, so we went to China, we went to Taiwan, went over to Japan. And I think my parents, you know, now I'm a senior citizen, but I look back on what was the beginnings of me loving adventure and travel, and it had to do with their attitude, that every move in every new place was a new adventure, something new waiting to be discovered. And so we didn't approach it with fear. So now I talk with friends sometimes in my peer group, and they go, well, I can't believe you went there or you did that, and didn't you feel afraid or in danger? And I think, how is it that my outlook is so different from, you know, many of my peers? And I just really think the beginnings were clear back then of how my parents taught me to approach it and how what we experienced was exploring the world. And now as an adult, an older adult, we still love to travel. We kayak, and I get a chuckle now because when people see us pulling the kayaks out of the water, typically we have people rush over, you know, younger people your age, and can we help you load your kayaks? So, and people have commented, you know, when we whitewater down in California, wow, you're the oldest people on the river, you know, and it's just... feel my life has been so enriched by continuing to travel, by not sitting in a comfortable zone. By, you know, every time we go to a new place, I think I love online because I go online and see what are some of the other things that aren't listed in the normal tourism guide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for instance, when I had never traveled the East Coast, and so 3 years ago we started in Maine and went down. Well, we went and kayaked on every one of the Great Lakes, and oh, it was the most amazing experience. And then we went from Maine and worked our way down, and the richness of experiencing firsthand what I've read in history books, seeing the great battlefields, reading them was just one of the most touching things. And then when we got down south on the East Coast, to, you know, I always just pop in local places or grab a local newspaper, and I read something about what the Great Dismal Swamp. I had never heard of that. And so, you know, we ended up at this amazing place with an amazing history. one of the biggest experiences that of my life, travel, and I hear it from you and these other people, it creates a new where you see, instead of my little piece of the world and my problems, or our little piece of the world and our problems, you see a bigger global picture, a global family. And I think if more people traveled and experienced that we might build better bridges, you know, between peoples and see people more as people, not somebody to be having a fight with or having a disagreement with. You know, you see the common threads.
Absolutely.
And like you say, in music or in culture, or for me, in family, you know, and we happen to be down on the border at one of the worst problem areas last year when the floods of immigrants began to cross. And we were actually in the one that was in an area that was featured as one of the worst areas. And I was watching what was happening, you know, through all the news sources, and actually felt very safe. But we had relatives calling and going, do we need to worry about you? And what I began to realize is what was playing out in the news is not what I saw really happening. And so I told my husband, let's figure out where where they're sheltering people that have come across, you know, what was being characterized as drug runners and illegal people and criminals, and let's see what we can do to help. And we had a lot of friends very angry that we would do that, because they said, well, you're condoning. You're by helping, you are agreeing. You're making a political agreement statement. And I said, well, I look at it as just the contrary. We're laying politics aside and seeing people as people. And it was one of the most amazing, touching experiences of my life to work just one-on-one with mamas and children and to learn their stories and, you know, why they were coming from South America. And I just would encourage travel. And I just really think it would be a key factor in helping us solve attitudes that we have of the we and them, you know, us versus them.
Indeed.
Outlook.
Yeah.
So I just gave you a mouthful.
Well, thank you so much for that call. I really appreciate it. And cheers to you for the work that you did on the border.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Well, this is The Conversation. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, and the last caller reminded me of a couple of things. When I was planning to make that trip to China, there was a spy plane that was shot down or something in China. There was a U.S. plane, and so tensions were high. You know, we were on orange alert or something, and my mom was adamant that I not go on this trip. And my professor just insisted that it was as safe or safer than anywhere in the U.S. and that this was not going to be a factor. And when I got there, one of the things that I heard over and over from people in China was that they understood that people are people and government is government, and that's not the same thing. And so the Chinese people consider the Americans as people, and they consider the American government as government, and they make that distinction. And I appreciated that perspective. And then the other big takeaway was, you know, we've grown up learning that China is a communist country, when in fact, when you take an objective look about how these people make their living and make their way through the world, there is no more capitalist culture in the world than the Chinese people. The way that they can make effort to make their money and to make their living and their wage. And so it's interesting how a word or two words, capitalist and communist, can put different countries or cultures or populations at odds against each other when it's not even very accurate. And so that's why travel is important, is to start to break down those walls that are built through language. 503-325-0010. I believe we've got one more call that's waiting to be patched through. We lost it. 503-325-0010. I saw that was you, Debbie. Please call us back. we've got time for one more call. I want to mention that today's topic of travel appealed to me because I just didn't want to talk about anything too heavy today. Nothing too... There's so many divisive topics, so many things that separate people from each other, and I think travel is one that brings us together, whether it's your family unit as you travel, or you and a friend, or even you by yourself, you know, and getting to know yourself better. That's the most important person to know before you can learn about others. And so travel has been good for me. When we were in Madrid, I was struck by the amount of people that would just be out in the street at night. And that's why I love things like street fairs or block parties or farmers markets. I can't get enough of that. And I really appreciated that about Madrid, was just that people were out and about and engaging with each other. I busked on the street with my guitar, and some people threw a euro or two in the case, and I said, thanks. And they were like, oh my God, you're American. Finally, someone we can talk to. And so I was happy to have a conversation with them for a bit. And let's see, what else was I going to say about Madrid? Oh, we've got another caller. Thanks for calling the conversation. What's your story for today?
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, good, thanks.
Hey, my name's Joel Fitz. I live over in Grays River. I'm a veteran, United States Navy, Vietnam era. I just was treated to a wonderful trip to Washington, D.C. by the Puget Sound Honor Flight Association.
That's great.
And I'd never been to the East Coast. My whole tour of duty was in the Pacific. I never got to the East Coast, but they took us to all the memorials in Washington, D.C., and there was 100 of us. There was 50 vets and 50 guardians that went on the airplane, and the Honor Flight people are just wonderful, and it's just such a great organization for vets. There was 11 World War II, and there was 22 Korean, and the rest of us were Vietnam people.
Mm-hmm.
We had one woman there that was World War II. She was 6 days from being 100 years old, and she was a nurse in World War II. She was just great, and had a great conversation with her. She was real sharp. And I think those are the things that, when you travel, I think your connections with people that you travel around or travel with is just so important, because it just educates you and makes you feel good. And it, for me and all the other 100 people, it was just an amazing trip. And we just need to appreciate Puget Sound Honor Flight people. And they do this all over the United States, not just Puget Sound. It's everywhere. There was a flight came in from Denver, a flight came in from Texas while we were there, too, with 100 vets on it. So I just wanted to call and say I really appreciated that, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that call, and I bet that woman who was pushing 100 wasn't as sharp as she was if she hadn't spent her years traveling, right?
Yeah, you know, if you can imagine, she was almost 100 and she was with her son, so her son had to be up in his 70s, and he brought his mom for that. I mean, all those things just really meant a lot to me. I just, I don't know. You know, you have to be selected on this thing to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the phone call and they say, would you like to go on the honor flight? And you're just like, right away, you got tears in your eyes. It was just very, very nice, very emotional to get together with guys that were not only guys, but gals that were part of that era in your life. And I got up at the dinner banquet, the second banquet. I gave a little speech and I recited a poem that I liked real well. It was just like, you know, about the middle of the day on the second day, I think everybody sort of felt that, you know, all the men and women that never got to come home from these wars that we've been in, we sort of all felt like they were right on our shoulders, that we were not only honoring ourselves and our families, but we were honoring those that laid their lives down for this country. And people really need to be aware of that.
Well, that is well said, sir. I want to thank you for your service and thank you for your call.
Thanks a lot. It was fun to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Great. Me too. Thank you.
Bye.
This is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, and streaming on the web at coastradio.org. Tonight, well, today, cloudy, high near 65. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 60. And this weekend, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. Stay tuned. Albert's coming in with Friday Folk at 10:06, and we are heading into headline news just a little behind schedule. Thank you.
Reach a complete deal before next year's presidential election. The president is denying any wrongdoing in his conversations with foreign leaders. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports the president's denial follows a